Today we'll begin in the Mitzvah Shema Daf Ches Amud Beis, the third line, Rabbi Bar Abai. But first, let's just complete what we discussed yesterday on the bottom of Daf Ches Amud Aleph about Shnayim Mikra of Yechid Targum, Amashlim Adam, Yashlim Paris Yosef and Matsibu Afilu, here on the top of Ches Amud Beis, Atoros V'Divon. Rashi learns, the way Tosus interprets him, that in the case of Atoros V'Divon, we don't have a Targum, and therefore you repeat it the third time around in Ivris, in Lashon Kodesh. Tosus says, if that be the case, you're looking for words in the Torah, the Gemara wants to give examples of words that have no Targum. What about Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda? They don't have Targum. So Tosus says that the reason why the Gemara chose this example of Atoros V'Divon is because although these two words have no Targum in Unkelus, they do have a Targum in Targum Yushalmi. And the Chiddush is that even though it doesn't have a Targum Unkelus, and therefore you might have thought, as Rashi in fact thinks, that you should read the Pasuk three times in Lashon Kodesh, no, you should read it with the Targum Yushalmi. And there are all sorts of interpretations of Rashi to try to explain Rashi, the Taz and Orchaim and others. But the Gemara says that the schar for being mashlim parshios and metzibur is marichelo yomav ushnosav, the double language. Yomav in addition to shnosav. And arichas yomav means that he will have good, you know, he'd have good years. But the Pirush of Yomei Chayov means that it could be that maybe although he had many years, maybe the Yomim, the daily existence, was less than up to par. Kamashma, no, he'll have good days as well as good years. And the Gemara of Kol HaMashlim Parshios HaMetzibur, the extra emphasis on the word Kol, is that this promise, this divine promise for Arichas Yomim, is based on what we said before, that the reason why you mashlim parshiosim at tzibur is that he should have arichas yomim, and that's kol, like for the sake of. So this is a problem because the rule in the beginning of Masech Tovis is al tiyu avodim hamshamshim al manas lekabel pras. We want to do something shelo lishma. So to say that a person should be mashlim parshiosim kedei sheyekabel pras, that he should receive this gift and this reward of arichas yom, that's antithetical. But the answer might be, based on the Gemara and Kiddushin, that a person should divide up his day into three disciplines, shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mikra, shlish b'talmud. And this person, if he already learned mikra, then would we be machayev himself again to learn mikra? Should we say no? Now, you know the mikra, just learn Shnayim Targum or something along that line. So the Gemara is emphasizing that when we're machayev him now to learn again the parasha, Shnayim Mikra, he's going to have to add some limud. Maybe he'll have to add Mishnah v'Talmud. And the reason for that is because since he's already mastered mikra, he's got to go beyond. And that's the Tzorach Adam Lahashlish Limudo. He's got to go beyond Mikra, Shlish B'Mikra. He's got to give Shlish B'Mishnah and Shlish B'Talmud. And he's going to get a divine promise that he shouldn't think and he shouldn't be worried about the fact that maybe he won't have enough time to be Mashlim his Talmud. Because taking upon oneself Talmud, like example of Daf Yomi, seems like an awesome, almost inachievable goal, but the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Marech Lo Shnosav, and therefore he'll have extra years, he'll be able to fulfill this great challenge of learning all the Talmud. Now, we'll begin with Rabbi Bar Abaye, Sover Lash Luminu LeParshiosa DeKula Shata B'Mala Yom DeKippura. According to his calculation, he thought he would be mashlim the reading of all the parashas the entire year on Erev Yom Kippur. There may have been many occasions where he didn't finish the parasha, and he left it for Erev Yom Kippur. He thought that this would give an extra schus before the ultimate din of Yom HaKippurim, and it'll be zochet haslicha mechila. And Rabbi Bar Abaye was one of the Bnei Eli, as the Gemara says in Erevin, who had a certain curse of that they wouldn't live for Arichas Yomim. He wanted to be Mashlim, his Parshios, Erev Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur, Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim, but perhaps through this mitzvah being mashlim his parashios, he'd be zocha to be written Lialter Lechaim. Now, he calculated from the beginning of the year that he would be mashlim his parashios on an annual basis on Erev Yom Kippur to complete that mitzvah. However, it seems that according to other commentaries, let's say Rabbi Nachmanel, the Aruch, Rabbi Choshev, his machshava was to be mashlim his parshios of Chodshe Hakala. Chof Lamed Hei Kala is a reference to the four parshios of Chodesh Adar, the four parshios of Chodesh Elul, because during those months of Adar and Elul, the entire congregation would gather together for drashos, for Hilchos Moedim, before Pesach, before Sukkos. So Adar they would learn Hilchos Pesach, El they would learn Hilchos Sukkos. And during these days, they were so busy learning the halachas. Rabbi Barbaya was torahed in this learning. He didn't have pnai, he didn't have an opportunity to be mashlim his parshios together with the tzibur, so he thought he would complete what was missing on Erev Yom HaKippurim. Tanalei Chiyo Bar Abba Midifti. We have a braisa with regard to Yom HaKippurim, Iksiv. One pasuk says, V'inisem es nafsho seichem b'tisha l'chodesh b'erev. On the 9th of Tishrei, you should be mekayim the mitzvah of Inui. And the braisa immediately asks, V'chi b'tisha mesanim alo b'asara mesanim. The mitzvah of Inui on Yom HaKippurim is on the 10th of Tishrei, not on the 9th of Tishrei. Ela lomar lecha, but this is meant to teach us that kol ochel v'shosa b'tshi malolav v'kosav kili misana b'tshi v'asiri. So that the 9th of Tishrei, which is Erev Yom HaKippurim, is meant to be designated for ribui suda. He should prepare himself for tomorrow's inui. And since it's such a great mitzvah to be marbis suda on Erev Yom Kippur, he won't have enough pnai, he won't have enough time to be mashlim parshiosav of the entire year. And when Rabbi Barbai found out that he wouldn't be able to be mashlim his kriyas haparshios on that Erev Yom Kippur, sovar lakaduminu, he thought that maybe it pays for him to read all the parashios in one Shabbos, or perhaps in two Shabbos, and go through the entire Torah, so that he'd be able to be mashlim his parashios, because he realized that every Yom Kippur would not be an appropriate time to do so. Amalei Ahu Saba, well, one of the elders said to him, Tanina, we learned in a braiso, Bilvad Shlo Yachdim V'Sholiacher, to be mashlim parashios of him at Tzibur, it means you have to go kisei, there one parasha each Shabbos, and that's what you have to do. So, for example, from Tfilas Mincha on Shabbos, it's already considered the time of next week's parasha, and begins to read next week's parasha. And that's what he does in order to be Mekayim Bizmana, to read the parasha Bizmana. He wants to be part of the Tzibur in the set time period. And the mitzvah in a muvchar, if all thing is ideal, is to be mashlim, to read the parasha of Shnayim Mikra Vechad Targum before he eats on Shabbos. And that's what's brought down in Tosfos, Divra Maskel Yashlim here, if you take a look. And since, at that point of Tfilas Mincha, he has to begin to read the next week's parasha, he better be completed with this week's parasha before he eats on Shabbos. In any event, the Gemara now tells us, Kida Amarlu Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Livnei. Rabbi Yoshua, as we saw earlier, gives instructions to his son, and here too, Ashlimu Parshiyo Saichu Im Atzibur, make sure to complete all the Parshiyos together with the Tzibur, Shnayim Mikra V'yechad Targum. And when he said to them, Parshiyo Saichu, it seems that he indicated that each parsha should be mashlim in its Shabbos. He shouldn't be makdim, he shouldn't be ma'acher, not earlier and not later. Now the Gemara brings two other ideas that were transmitted by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi to his children. Vizaru bevridim ki Rabbi Yehuda. When we shecht ofos, you should be very careful when you shecht a bird to cut the vridim in the neck of the oaf at the time of the shechita, so that all the dam will come out and it'll be kosher l'achila, and you'll do tzliya, and with the roasting you'll be able to eat it. And this reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who requires you to do so. Disnan, we learned in the Mishnah Chulin on Dafkov Zion, if a person checks rove of one of the two simonim in an oaf, then his shechita is ksheira. And Rabbi Yehuda says no. Ad sheyishchot es havridim. So we have to be very careful to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, be careful about the shechita of the vridim, so that we don't chas v'shalom violate the iser v'achilas dom. V'yod, and furthermore, hizaru b'zaken, be very careful about the honor to an elder, sheshachach talmudo, who unfortunately, tragically, has forgotten his limud, machmas onso. Perhaps he's suffering from abstentia, and it's not his fault. And the example of this for a mashal is going to be what we call shivrei luchos, the amrinan luchos, the second set of luchos, the shivrei luchos, and the first set of luchos, which are broken, munachos bi'aron. And this is based on a pasuk in the 10th parak of Dvarim, vechtov al luchos es advarim asher hoyo al luchos arishonim asher shibarta v'samta ba'aron. And Chazal in the Gemara Menachos Sarites, asher shibarta v'samtem ba'aron af es hashvarim tosim bi'aron. And if shivrei luchos have to be placed in the aron, that's because of the kovid that we give to shivrei luchos. And we have to be machabed a zaken who forgot his learning because of a situation of ones, which was mitigated. This was circumstances beyond his control. The same way that we have to respect shivrei luchos and treat them with great honor, keep them in the aron together with the second set of luchos. Keep in mind that we're not talking about an older person, dafka, even though it says zaken, that's more rugged for him to forget his Talmud, but it could happen even in a younger person, Rachman al-Itzlan. And in general, we have to say that even though Chazal tell us the rule is kol shem is daknim, no sefes bem chachm, the older person gets, the wiser he gets. Nevertheless, that's only if you're healthy, but if you're ill, never you can forget your Talmud. The drasha of the Gemara here is based on the extra words asher shibarta. And the Asher Shibarta is coming to be connected with the next words of Isamtim Ba'aron, and these are the Shivrei Luchos that are Munachim Ba'aron. And we put the second set of Luchos together with the first set, even though the first set are broken, in order to upgrade the Kavo, the level of glory that we give to the first set of Luchos, despite the fact that they are broken. The pasuk says about Moshe Rabbeinu ve'efen ve'erid min ahar ve'osim es haluchos ba'aron asher asisi. The pashas in the pasuk is that he's talking about the second set of luchos, but the smichus of the words asher shibarta to the words usmak v'samtem ba'aron teach us through this drasha chazal that the shivrei luchos rishonos amunachim ba'aron, and the shivrei luchos that are munachim together with the second set of luchos in the aron is rak, it's only li'achar shenivne beis hamigdash. Before the beis hamigdash was built, the shivrei luchos were let alone in the aron of Moshe. Moshe had his own personal aron with the shivrei luchos. And this was a personal aron. The regular aron for the healthy luchos was built by Bezalel, before the Beis HaMikdash was built. And in the Beis HaMikdash, there were two different Aronos. There was the Aron of Moshe and the Aron of Bezalel. The Aron of Moshe that had within it the Shivrei Luchos, and with that they would go out to Melchama, as it says, V'Aron Bris Hashem Nosea Lifneihem. But once the Beis HaMikdash was built, there was no Aron that was Yotzeim or Melchama. Therefore, the Shivrei Luchos were left in the Aron, in one Aron, and they were placed together in the same Aron with the second set of Luchos. Why is it that we have to be so careful about the kavod of this Zaken who forgot his Torah? And the answer is that Torah is a milah that a person is konen his nefesh, and it's never betela. If he forgets because of his ones, then the Torah is not mistalekes mi'odam. There's some impact and some vestige of the impact of Torah on the nefesh ha'odam even after he forgets his Torah. Again, we're talking about shricha machmas ones. His Torah is with him, and therefore we have to be machabin him. The Gemara now goes on to tell us what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi told his children and three things that Rava told his children. Amalei Rava lebnei, kisha'atem chotchim basar, when you cut meat and it's very dangerous with a sharp knife. Al tachtechu al gabi ayad, don't put your hand on the table while you're cutting it, you might cut yourself. Ika diami, others had a version, mishum sakana, and ika diami mishum kilkul seuda, because if we'll make a chabura, and dam is going to come, it's going to be disgusting for the entire seuda, the blood flows. Be very careful with knives. That's the bottom line here in Rava's last will and testament to his children. Secondly, what else does Rava teach his children? Al teshvu al mitas aramis. Okay, why shouldn't you sit on a mita of a goyita? And al tavru achore beis haknes b'shosh atzivru mispalim. That last one we've covered in many of our discussions earlier. So Gemara says al teshvu al mitas aramis. Two possibilities. Why? Ika the amis, they say that lo signu, you shouldn't fall asleep below kriyachma. In other words, you shouldn't go to sleep the way an arami would go to sleep without kriyachma. Make sure to recite kriyachma before you go to sleep. The ika the amri, others say de lo tinsavu giyarta. Make sure that you don't marry a gioris. Now, what does that mean? You shouldn't marry a gioris. So the reason for this, based on a sugya in Sanhedrin Sadi Dalit, is b'nei adam. People say al tivze es hagoyim b'fnei ger u'b'fnei bonav ad asora doros. It means that for the first 10 generations after gerus, the people of this lineage from the ger are very sensitive about being gerim, and they are still connected, if you will, to the goyish life. So we're worried about a rosh hamadbea in the neshama. And what are we going to do with this gemara? Is this gemara going to tell us? And there is such a minhag amongst certain Sephardic communities not to marry and not to let gerim enter into the community. Don't marry gioris. So Rav Yaakov Emdin writes that it's not that all gioris are all the same of one ilk, and they should be excluded. We know that Yeshua married Rachav, she was a gioris. Boaz married Rus. There are situations in which a gioris is a great woman, and you shouldn't hesitate to marry her. But in general, as a general rule, according to this particular opinion in the Gemara, marrying a gioris is a challenge, a special challenge. Okay, so the first interpretation we had was that you should make sure to say Kriyat Shema before you go to sleep. The second is about marrying Gioris. A third interpretation is Aramis Mamish, that you shouldn't sit on a meat of a Goyita. Umishu Maisa Derapop, because of the story of Rapop. Derapopa Azli, the Gavi Aramis, he had to visit a non-Jewish woman, Hotziulo Mita. And she brought out a bed, Amar lo, and she said to him, "Shave, please sit on the bed." Amar lo, so her papa says, "Eini yoshev ad shatagbi es hamita." I want you to lift up the bed. Higbia, she lifted up the mita. Umatsu sham, underneath the mita that she lifted up, tinok mes. And it became clear that this goyita wanted to create a libel, a blood libel against her papa, that he smashed his and sat on her son and killed him. Mikan amru chachamim also leishev al mita ramis, because that one incident, the chachamim said, be careful. You never know what they're trying to trap you into. Rava said to his children, V'al ta'avru achore beis haknes b'shosh atzim mispalim misayalei l'Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Yom Rav Yeshua ben Levi, we had this earlier. Osel olyom sh'yavru achore beis haknes b'shosh atzim mispalim. We don't pass by a shul when davening is in session. He looks like a kofar. He looks like he's humiliated. He's mevazah the beis haknesses. He's standing at the Pesach and he doesn't go in. That's a great act of degradation, an insult to the Beis HaKnesses. Some Rabbi lo amoron, this only applies bidaleka pischa achrina, when there's no other way of entering into the shul, aval ika pischa achrina, if there's an alternative entrance into the shul, leslan ba, we don't have to worry about this prohibition. Because if somebody sees you passing by one particular Pesach, he'll say you're on the way to enter the shul through another Pesach. And not only that, v'lo amoron el deleka beknishtach rina. If there's no alternative shul, aval ika beknishtach rina, there's another shul to daven in leslan ba, because there's no chash that somebody will say he's a kofer, he doesn't want to go in and daven, because they'll say, they'll assume he davened elsewhere. V'lo amoron el delo dore tuna, v'lo rohit, v'lo manach tfilin. This Easter, not to go around the Beis HaKnesses, behind the Beis HaKnesses, only applies when he's not holding a big package, or he's not running, or he's not wearing tefillin. Aval ika chad mihanach leslan ba. If any one of these three conditions were met, meaning if he met the condition of carrying a big bundle and everything is clear that he's not going to the shul because he's preoccupied with transporting this very heavy bundle, or if he's running and he's in a real rush, then it's clear to every onlooker that he must be in a tremendous rush. He must take care of something urgent and he doesn't have time to do so. And if he wears tefillin, then for sure he's someone who fits the category of Rodef HaKar Mitzvahs. He's not going to be one of the Mevatli HaTefillah. And therefore, we can judge him favorably. The bottom line is, if it's clear to everyone, the onlooker, that he's Torud, he's on the rush, he's doing something urgent, then he's allowed to go Me'achorei Beis HaKnesses, pass by the entry without going into the Beis HaKnesses. Now, earlier we learned that Rava commanded his sons not to cut meat with his hand on the table. So, for example, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, "Rochev al gabi chamor ein bezeh chashash." If he goes past a Beis HaKnesses around the side, and the people are davening, he's on a donkey. And the Beis Yosef and Arachaim Siman Tzadi writes, "Nikar shu torid b'shmiras behema," or he's on his way, and everybody understands that's why he didn't go inside. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, and this is a hemshech of the Gemara about the commands of Rava to his children about cutting the knife, as I said before. Omar Abakiva, b'shloshet dvarim oiv hanias hamadiyim. There are three things that we could learn from the Madiyim, who come from Madai. I mean, generally speaking, we don't... we don't want to imitate the Goyim, but there are a few things that they got right. One is Kishachot Gasbas and Chokil Agav Yashulchan. They make sure that they're not holding on to the bread that they're cutting. And we spoke before about meat that they're cutting. It's got to be on the table. And number two, Kishen Noshkim, when they kiss, let's say, a friend of theirs, Ein Noshkim El Agav Yad. They kiss on the hand. And finally, when they give counsel to someone and they don't want it to be public knowledge, they go out to the fields where it's quiet, where nobody has to listen, there's no eavesdropping, so that their advice should not be public. No one should get embarrassed and no one should have to pass that on. Omar Avada Barav Maikra, what's the pasuk from which we learn that when you give an etzi, you should go out to the soda? It says in Breishis Lamed Aleph, Vayishlach Yaakov Vayikra LeRachel Lea HaSodeh El Tzono. The Sodeh is something that's outside the city limits. It's a wide open space. And if anybody comes near them and tries to eavesdrop, they would see them. No one's going to hear their secrets. That's a good way to go. When Yaakov Avinu heard the words of the Bnei Lavan, that they said that they took all the rechush of Lavan, and that's what they were accusing Yaakov of doing, and Yaakov realized that the Pnei Lavan ain't no emo kitmol shilchom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gave him a command, if you recall, to go back to Eretz Canaan. He sends for Rachel and Leah out to the Soda to take counsel with them and see what their next move should be. And even though it's possible that he called them to him because he didn't have enough time to go after them, because he was giving the Shmira Ma'ula, he was watching carefully the Tzon of Lavan, but nevertheless we should learn about the Maila, the extra dimension and the upgrade of the Maila of taking Yehuds out in the field in a private place. Now Rabbi Ada had a problem, because when you're mitiats in the Sada, you know, people start suspecting, you know, they you raise their curiosity, arouse their curiosity, want to know why you're going out into the field. And therefore he brings this pasuk that Yaakov, you know, already was careful about this, and he proves from Yaakov that this is what we should do. Tanya, Omram Gamliel, B'shloshet Dvarim Oiv Anias HaParsim, before we spoke about Madai, what can we learn to imitate from the Parsim? What are they good? You know, be Chachma Bagoyim Tamin, and he has an Indian of Tzniyus, same Tznuim Ba'achilosan. And we'll see later on in the Gemara that the Reish Galusa told Rav Sheshes that even though he and his friends are great scholars, nevertheless the Parsim are more expert at knowing what he calls Minhagi HaSeuda. And the Gemara there clarifies what are the Minhagim Tovim that the Parsim were experts at. And perhaps it means they wouldn't eat out there in the public, but there was a certain sneeze about their eating, because there's a certain human almost embarrassment about being so physical that we have to eat. Utsnuim b'beis hakisei, and utsnuim b'dover acher b'tashmish amita. So it's interesting that the Parsim are considered tsnuim. If you look in Masechta Erevin, on Daf Kufa Amid Beis, Rabbi Yochanan says, if lo nit the Torah, if not for the Torah given at our Sinai, we would learn tsnius from chatul, from a cat. And Rashi says, tsnius he, she'eno matil re'i b'fnei odom achaset so'oso. That in the getting rid of their excrements, the cats are very embarrassed about it, very low-key, and they cover over that tzoah. I never saw that happen, but... And the Parsim were also tznuim in the Beis HaKisei. They would cover up that tzoah. And a person should always be tzanuah in the Beis HaKisei. That's actually codified by the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Simon Gimel. And this is something that we derive from our sugya. Now, when it comes to Tashrish Amita, there we have to learn sugyas in Shas, elsewhere in Adarim, in Iksubis, what the minhag of the Parsim was during Tashrish Amita. And now that we've mentioned the Midas HaTznius of the Parsim, the Gemara clarifies that there's no Maila that, as, like this one, meaning of Tznius, that could save you from Gehenim. Because with regard to the downfall above El, the Pasuk tells us in Yeshaya Perek Yud Gimel, Ani Tzivesi Lemekudoshai, in other words, I commanded the kings of Paras to come and destroy Bavel. Utani Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef learned in a Braisa that Tzivesi Lemekudoshai, the word Mekudoshai, is an allusion to the Parsim, because they are Mekudoshim Umizumanim LeGehenim. So in other words, even though the Maila Gedola of Tznius, as we said before, can protect a person from many things, but not in the case of a Rasha who should go to Gehenim. And even if the Parsim are Mekudoshim, meaning they have the mid of tznius, and that's chus, but nevertheless, mizumanim legehenim, they're going to gehenim. And the reason why this chus of their minhagi tznius are not going to protect them from gehenim is because they didn't do this lechor Hashem. This was just their mores and their etiquette, if you want to call it. And this is not called a mitzvah ru'uyel atzilo midinish el gehenim. Now, you can ask why the Tanakh singles out the Parsim as Mekudoshim LeGehenim, that they're designated for Gehenim, is because you would have said that maybe the Mid of Tznius would have saved them from Gehenim, and therefore the Torah went out of its way to say that their Inyonim of Tznius would not save them from Gehenim. And even though they have a certain element of Kedusha, they're Maisim, but they won't be saved. But the Madiim, which who received the praise of Rabbi Kiva, the previous statement, that's already just a matter of Derech Eretz. And that's Poshut, that would not save them from Dina Shel Gehenim. There was no Hava, meaning that the Tanakh had to go out of its way to be Mechadish that. Rabbi Gamliel said, and we're now back to the Mishnah on Daf Beis. So at this point, I think we could make a siyum and drink a l'chaim on the long agadah that we've been studying. And perhaps that's going to speed us up a little bit as we go along. I don't know, no promises, but the shiurim have been a little bit long, and I apologize for that. I know Daf Yomi Shir is meant to be shorter, but agadah, my gosh, this is very complicated. But getting back to the Mishnah, so Rav Gamliel says that you can daven Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis even as late as Amud HaShachar, because that's called Bishog Becha. And he disagrees with the Chachamim, who established that we should finish Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis before Chatzos, and certainly Kol Shekhen against Rabbi Eliezer, who gave it only till the end of the Ashmor Rishona. And Om Rav Yehuda Meshmuel Halacha Kram Gamliel, and therefore a person could delay his Kriyat Shema until Alos HaShachar. The Rosh, the Rashba, and others tell us that Chachamim Rabbi Gamliel argued about the sof, the latest time for his Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, lechatchila, and Shmuel is pasking like Rav Galil that even lechatchila you could delay your Kriyat Shema till Alos HaShachar, whereas the Chacham would say no, b'di'evin, if you pass Chatzos, then we agree that you could read Kriyat Shema, but laharchik esodim leveri, you should read Kriyat Shema before Chatzos. However, although this shita is quoted, nevertheless, other Rishonim say that even Rav Gamliel is opposed to a person eating and drinking before he reads Kriyat Shema, before he davens. That's a different Issa, because we're afraid that if he gets home at night and after a day of work and he eats and he drinks and he relaxes, then by delaying Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, he might fall asleep, and therefore, if he wants to fast during the night, that's okay. And as long as he reads Kriyat Shema before Amud HaShachar. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Kriyat Shema has a different shita. He says that Shmuel never meant to paskin halacha k'Rav Gamliel against the Chachamim. What he meant was to paskin like Gamliel only in that point that he argues with Rabbi Eliezer. That Rabbi Eliezer understood B'shach B'cha to refer to the time that people got asleep, which is Ashmur Rishona, and Rabbi Gamliel understood B'shach B'cha to mean the time that most people are sleeping in their beds, which means all the night. And in this Likudi, Paskin is like Shmuel. But with regard to the question of the Chachamim, then Adarab, but Allah is certainly is like the Chacham, L'chatchili should not be reading Kriyat Shema after Chatzos. And the Rambam paskins like that because he holds Rav Gamliel is moded to the Chacham, and there was never argument that l'chatchila Kriyat Shema should be read before Chatzos. And the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Reish Lamed Hey codifies this halacha like Rambam, and that's going to be the final word. Tanya, we learned in the Brayso, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Omer Pa'amim Sha'adam Korei Kriyat Shema Shtei Pa'am Balayla. A person could possibly be yotzei both Kriyat Shema B'shal B'cha and Kriyat Shema V'kumecha B'alayla. How is that possible? Achas kodim shi'al amur ha-shachar v'achas li'achar shi'al amur ha-shachar v'yotzei b'chavoso achas shal yom and achas shal layla. So he's got now a Kriya, which is synchronized 1 minute before Amud HaShachar, and then a minute later after he finishes his Kriya, he reads a second Kriya after Amud HaShachar. He was Yotzei both B'shal Becha and B'kumecha. And the Gemara doesn't understand Hagufa Kasha. Amrit, you said in the Braisa, Pa'omim Shadam Korei Kriyat Shema Shtei Pa'om Balayla. So it must mean that you were reading it Balayla. But then you went ahead and you told me that the second time you read Kriyat Shema was after Amud HaShachar. If it's after Aliyas Amud HaShachar, then that's not called Laila. Is Alma, it must be that Liachar Shiala Amud HaShachar Laila, it's still called Laila until Anei Tzachama, which is, let's just say, a 45-minute period later, whatever it is. So how can you tell me that he daven Shtei Pa'amim Balayla if you're telling me that Liachar Amud HaShachar If it's Shteipam Balayla, then you're telling me that after Amunah Shachar, it's still Laila, because the second Kriya read after Amunah Shachar, it's not yet Eretz HaChama. And in Hadar Tani Yotzi Behen, Yideich Vasab Achas Shal Yom Yachas Shal Laila. Which must mean that if you waited until after Amunah Shachar, then it's your mama. And you just told me that Liach Amunah Shachar is Laila. So again, from the fact that you said Liach Amunah Shachar is already Yom, because you said Achas Shal Yom, it must be that it was Yotzi the Chofetz Kriya Shma Shel Shachar, because it's already Yom. But that contradicts the beginning of the Braisa, which seemed to indicate clearly that Laila continues even beyond Amunah Shachar, all the way to Hanetzach Chama. Whereas the Sof of the Braisa indicates that Laila ends with Amunah Shachar, with Alos HaShachar. So what is it? I mean, are we saying that that after Amunah Shachar it's already Yom? Or are we saying, no, it's not Yom, it's still Laila, and it doesn't become Yom until after Hanetzach Chama? So Gemara says, lo, there's no stira here. Li Olam, I'll tell you that after Alos HaShachar, Laila Hu, until we get to Hanetzach Chama, it's still Laila. And that's what we saw in the beginning of the Braisa, that these two kriyos are Balaila. Vahad the Kari Le Yom, and what he says at the end of the Braisa, that it was Achas Shal Yom, Achas Shal Laila, the Ika Inshi, the Kaimi by Yishaita, since there are people who get up at that hour before Hanates, is therefore this man is considered a little bit Laila, and that gives it an extra push. And an extra extension to be Laila. Again, as far as my Kriyat Shema, it's ready, it's my Kriyat Shema Shal Shachris. And it's already Bekumecha because some people get up at that time. But yet, technically, it is still Laila. Why? Because you haven't yet hit Hanetzach Chama. And even though you passed Halos HaShachar, it's still Laila. And that's what we saw in the Braisa at the beginning, that there are two Kriyas Balaila. If there are two Kriyas Balaila, so what do you mean when you say Achas Shel Yom and Achas Shel Laila? Where's the Achas Shel Yom? And the answer is, since there are people who wake up at that early hour, then it's also considered Yom. So you get the impression from this Gemara that in objective terms, Amunah Shachar is still considered Laila. And the Yom begins with Hanetzach Chama. The only reason he calls it Yom after Amunah Shachar is because of the special halach in Kriyat Shema of Uvekumecha, and there are people who get up at that early hour. So the Rishonim raised a stira from the Gemara in Megillah Daf Chaf. There the Gemara says that mitzvason, any mitzvah shezmana b'yom, is after Amunah Shachar yoyotze. So it seemed that from Alos HaShachar on, it's already Yom. We don't have to wait till Hanetzach Chama. Our Gemara assumes we have to wait till Hanetzach Chama. So the Rashba suggests that with regard to all mitzvahs, it's already Yom with Amunah Shachar. And therefore call mitzvahs Yom is Mishah Shal Amunah Shachar. The Torah said with regard to Kriyat Shema, that Kriyat Shema depends not on Yom and Laila, but rather on Bikumecha, B'Shobakov Bikumecha. And since Rov B'nei Adam are still sleeping after Alos HaShachar, before Hanetz, it's Laila L'Gabi Chiv Kriyat Shema. But he could be Yotzei is Chiyuv Kriyat Shema because there are a few people who are waking up at that early hour, so it could be considered Ubekumecha. The Rosh says that our Gemara L'Olam Leilahu means Ha'olam Nikra Hazman, that in Lashon HaAdam or Ha'olam, in the way that we speak, that time period after Alos HaShachar is called Laila, because you still haven't seen sunrise, the light of the day. And therefore, all the mitzvahs that are Zmanah B'Yom, L'chadchila, you should postpone them until after Yor HaYom, after sunrise, because it looks like Laila. But if he were to perform those mitzvahs after Alos HaShachar, then Yotzi Dechovaso, because that's already considered Yom. We should avoid it because people think of it as Laila, but technically you were Yotze already. And the same thing is true about Kriyat Shema. It's considered Laila as far as somebody who was Nenas and he wasn't able to read Kriyat Shema B'Laila. He can continue reading Kriyat Shema even beyond Alos HaShachar, because for some people that's already Just one second. He could read Kriyat Shema even after Alos HaShachar, right? And that means that it's still considered Laila. Technically, it's Laila. It's a separate halacha in Kriyat Shema because of the Shavuot. And most people are still sleeping. They don't wake up until daybreak. Amar Rav Acha Bar Chanina, Amar Rav Yishuv Ben Levi, Aloch HaKrav Shim Bar Yochai, a person could be Yotzei, his Chiv Kriyat Shema Shachar, after Alos HaShachar, even though it's still Laila technically. And the reason for that is because it's already Bekumecha, because some people are already getting up and starting their day. The Gemara wants to quote a Psak Halacha of Rav Acha on the basis of his interpretation of a different price. So, Ikab Damasni Lohod Rav Acha Bar Chanina Ahod Sanya. We're going to take Rav Acha and we're going to attach his psak to a brisa. And that brisa is going to establish a halacha like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Bishum Rav Yakiva Pa'omim Sha'odom Kore Kriyat Shema Shtei Pa'omim Biyom Achas Kodem Aneitzachamo V'Achas Li'achar Aneitzachamo V'Yotzeh Ben Yidei Chavos Achas Shal Yom V'Achas Shal Laila. The first Kriya, he was Yotzeh Kriyat Shema Shal Arvis, and the second Kriya was Yotzeh Kriyat Shema Shal Shachris. So the Gemara asks the following question on Gufa Kasha. The Brisa seems to contradict itself. The beginning of the Brisa says Amrit Pa'amim Shadam Kori Kriyat Shema Shtei Pa'amim Bayom, and then you're telling me that the first time that he read it was before Kodem Anetzachamo. Is Alma, you must be assuming that Kodem Anetzachamo, once it's in that period of time from Alos until Chanetz, it's Yomamu, it's considered day. For Hada Tani, and then you told me she Yotzman Yode Chovas Ashal Yom Yachash Laila Alma Lailahu. That up until Netzachama, it's still considered Laila. He could be Yotzi Iskiv Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis at that period of time. So now the beginning of the Brisa contradicts the end of the Brisa. The beginning of the Brisa clearly indicates that the day begins with Alos HaShachar, and the end of the Brisa clearly indicates that the day begins with Netzachama. And the Gemara answers, look. There's no stira. Li'olam, I'm going to tell you that before Anetzachama Yimamu, it's already considered day, as we saw at the beginning of the Brisa, Shtei Kriya Sein Biyom. The end of the Brisa calls it Laila. The answer is, De'ika Inshu De'goni Ba'ishak. Since there are people who are still sleeping at that hour, then vis-a-vis the Chiyuv of Kriyashma Shal Arvis specifically, whose man is going to be a B'shal Bacha, this period of time before Anetzacham is still considered B'shal Bacha, even though technically it's already Yom. Omar, Rav Acha, Barei, Barabi Chanina, Barabi Yishuv, and Levi Alocha, Ki Rav Shim Gamliel, Diom Yishuv, Rabbi Akiva, that he was Yotzi, Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis after Alos HaShachar, even though technically it's already day. And Rav Zera adds, based on a din that we had on Ches Amud Beis in the first price, that he could read Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis Samuch Le Amud HaShachar, Om Rav Zera Bilvad Sheyomar Shelo Yomar Hashkivenu. So even though this time period of Samuch Amud HaShachar is considered Ubishabako because people are still sleeping, but Rabbi Zera says that with regard to Ashkivenu, there's a separate halacha that Ashkivenu was established by the Chachamim at the time of Tchilas Hashchiva. And when you get to the period of time of Amud HaShachar, that's already Sof Hashchiva. So therefore, he should omit Hashkivenu. That's the way Rashi interprets this statement of Rabbi Zera on the top of Daf Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara now clarifies the psak of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, ki also Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel Omar, ha, this psak of Rabbi Acha bar Rabbi Chanina, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that we passing like Rabbi Shimon, that you can fulfill the chiyuv of Kriyat Shema of Arvis even after Alos HaShachar, people are still sleeping. La beferish itmar, it wasn't said explicitly. Ela mechlola itmar, we could derive it from a story. What was the story? Tahu Zuga. There was a pair of Talmidei Chacham Derabbanan, Dishtakur Behilula Debrei Rabbi Yeshua Levi. They got a little bit tipsy because of the Simchas Chasana of the son of Rabbi Shimon Levi, and they fell asleep until it was after Amud HaShachar, and they hadn't read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, also coming to Rabbi Shimon Levi. They came in front of the Baal HaSimcha himself, and they got there before Netz, and they asked if they could still read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, Omar. So Rabbi Shimon Levi's response was, Kedayu Rabbi Shimon Lismachalab B'Shas HaTchak. It was Rabbi Shimon who was Matir reading Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis up until Anetzach Ham, because people are still sleeping in their bed. It's still B'Shavacha. We'll rely on him. B'Shas HaTchak. Shalom B'Shas HaTchak, Rashi says, we would not tell a person to read Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis after Amud HaShachar. And according to the Rosh, the words and the psak of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in this brisa were only formulated b'shas hachak when he was in a situation of ones. He wasn't able to read Kriyat Shema Laila. The Rashba disagrees. He says that from the fact that Rav Yeshua ben Levi says Kedayu Rav Shimon Lismach Alav, it means Rav Shimon himself would allow you to read Kriyat Shema after Amud HaShachar, Kriyat Shema Shal Arvis, even Shalo b'shas hachak. Okay, then this is where we're going to stop for now. Here on the top of that Tes Amud Aleph, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue with the Mishnah and the Gemara on that Mishnah, Maaseh Shebo Bana of Rav Gamliel Mibeis HaMishteh, in Mirtz Hashem in the next Shia. Wish everyone a great Shabbos.